the Dallas Morning News, I'm Christopher Wynn. This is a breaking news update on the murder trial of fired Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. The trial is happening now at the Frank Crowley Courts Building in Dallas. This update is part of a special report, The Death of Botham Jean, Amber Geiger on Trial. Catch up on our previous episodes by searching for the Dallas Morning News in your preferred podcast player. You'll also find links at dallasnews.com. And please note, these breaking reports may contain explicit language or mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, you might remember yesterday there was some very graphic body camera video that was played in court, and the parents of Botham Jean stepped outside. Well, today some of that video was played again. Judge Kemp later apologized for not giving them some warning. Allison Jean, that's Botham Jean's mother, eventually stepped outside of court in tears.
This is Jennifer Emily, and I'm covering the Amber Geiger trial for the Dallas Morning News. It's Wednesday night, and court is over for the day. A lot happened when the jury wasn't present. Neighbors of Botham Jean testified about how they've gone to the wrong door. And then a cell phone went off in court, twice. Judge Tammy Kemp was not pleased. Let's break it down. Botham Jean's parents watched their son's final moments Wednesday when a body cam video of first responders desperately trying to save him caught them by surprise. This came a day after the Jeans had left the courtroom when police video was shown for the first time. Wednesday, Judge Tammy Kemp sent the jury out of the courtroom so she could watch the video for something specific, where Jean's shoes were in the apartment. The defense wanted to question Texas Ranger David Armstrong about that point to establish where he was shot in the apartment, and the judge wanted to re-examine how much first responders moved things around. As the video filled three large screens in the courtroom, Bertram and Allison Jean grew increasingly upset. Jean's father, Bertram, put his hands over his ears to block out the sound, and then pressed his forehead against the wall as a family friend patted his back. Allison Jean slumped forward in her seat, her head bowed, as the officers on the video tried to revive her son. When the video stopped, the Jean stood. Allison Jean looked anguished, and tears fell from her face as she and her husband walked out of the courtroom. For the next several minutes, every time the courtroom door opened, a low wail could be heard from the hallway. Judge Tammy Kemp apologized after she realized what had happened. She also didn't allow the testimony about the shoes. Too many things had been moved while police officers and paramedics tried to save his life, and she couldn't tell where the shoes were. While the jury was still outside the courtroom, defense attorney Robert Rogers questioned Texas Ranger David Armstrong about his opinions in the case. Armstrong is the lead investigator, the one who got the warrant to arrest Geiger on a manslaughter charge. The grand jury later indicted Geiger for murder.
Do you have an opinion as to whether it was reasonable for Amber Geiger to proceed based on the facts and circumstances that, from her standpoint, that the complaining witness was an intruder in her apartment?
Yes, sir.
And what is your opinion?
That it was a reasonable perception.
And do you have an opinion as to whether it was reasonable based on the facts and circumstances from an ordinary prudent person in Amber Geiger's position for her to perceive that Botham Jean was a deadly threat?
Yes, sir.
And what is that opinion?
I believe that she did perceive him as a deadly threat.
Ultimately, Judge Kemp ruled Rogers couldn't ask Armstrong about whether he thought Geiger committed a crime. When the jury was in the courtroom, they heard testimony from several of Jean's neighbors from the Southside Flats apartments. They testified that they've gotten confused and parked on the wrong floor or gone to the wrong door. There are floor numbers in the parking garage, but they're small. Amber Geiger lived on the third floor, and Botham Jean lived directly above her on the fourth floor. Some residents said they noticed they were in the wrong place after noticing decorative doormats. Jean had a red mat in front of his door. Geiger didn't have one. Armstrong testified he parked on the wrong floor during his investigation. He also said that Geiger was the only person who had shot someone after going to the wrong door. Some neighbors testified that they had put their key in the wrong door and only realized they were in the wrong place because the electronic lock turned red. With the right key, you get a green light and a whirring sound. Here's one of Botham Jean's neighbors, Whitney Hughes, talking about her experiences.
You lived in 1439?
Yes.
Okay. And in the time you'd been there, I believe you stated previously in another hearing that you had parked on the lawn floor on two different occasions.
Yes.
And walked down the hall, and one of those occasions you walked all the way up. You were on the third floor by mistake, I believe.
Yes.
And you walked all the way to, it would have been 1339, and put your key in.
Yes, I did once.
And you walked down the hall a second time, but you realized you were on the lawn floor before you made it all the way to 1339.
Yes.
It was a heavy day in court, but there were some moments of levity. Judge Kemp prohibits cell phones and laptops in the courtroom, unless you're one of the attorneys working on the case. On day one, before testimony started, music began playing from a laptop. As the judge inquired about what had happened, music began to play again.
Wait a minute, hold on. Why do you have a laptop in here?
I'm so sorry, I'm the investigator.
No, I ask you, why do you have a laptop in here? Are you an attorney?
No, ma'am.
Please give that laptop to the bailiff, and you put it wherever you wish to put it. I ask, I don't know how plainer I can make it.
I'm so sorry.
And why are the...
I don't know what's happening.
I know. Please bring it to me, sir. Just please bring it to me.
Judge Kemp confiscated the laptop and threatened to keep it until the trial ends. It turns out the laptop belonged to an investigator for the defense. Then, on Tuesday, a woman's cell phone went off in her purse. The judge took that phone too, and once again warned us all that cell phones, laptops, and even Apple Watches were forbidden. Yet on Wednesday, a woman's cell phone rang out in court. The bailiff took it away and gave it to the judge. Then another phone rang. It belonged to the same woman. The judge confiscated the phone, opened the door behind her bench, and tossed it into the hallway that leads to her chamber. So on Thursday, we're expecting the prosecution to call more witnesses. A crime scene investigator was on the stand when court ended, and she will finish her testimony before prosecutors call their next witness. I'll be back in the courtroom by 8:30 a.m., and we'll bring you the latest updates. Until then, I'm Jennifer Emily for the Dallas Morning News. You can find our live updates from the trial at dallasnews.com, where I go into more detail about the case.
Please help support our journalism and projects like this one by visiting dallasnews.com/audio. We have an exclusive offer there just for listeners. If you're looking for more of our audio reporting, subscribe to our daily news briefings and special reports by searching for the Dallas Morning News on any podcast platform. This episode was produced by Benjamin Robinson, Jennifer Emily, Marcia Alert, and Christopher Wynn, with editing by Matt Peterson. Our music is by Jason Reimer. Special thanks to our partners at NBC5. Until next time, thanks for listening.